is trying to encourage everyone to really get into the whole fighting mode. So, is that okay? So there are some other points. Anybody else has any questions or comments?
Oh yeah, why is Bhishma actually fighting on the side of Kauravas, even though his heart is actually where Pandavas more like? Is it? I don't know the full story behind it, but.
Well, it's a big story.
Is it? Okay.
But anyone like to answer this point? Why is Bhishma Dev fighting on behalf of the Kauravas?
Because Duryodhana was looking after Bhishma Dev and everybody else, you know, in the absence of Pandavas as well.
He took a vow
right.
To his father to say that, you know, he was protect Hastinapur. The throne, whoever sits on the throne of Hastinapur will protect, you know, whoever sits there. And obviously, he was thinking about his father, he'll protect his father and his children. But he didn't realize that Duryodhana would come and the good king. So it doesn't matter who sits there, he would have to take their sides and protect and keep his vow.
Right. They're both cousin brothers, but the thing is that Bhishma, he knew that he actually should really have supported the Pandavas. In fact, he was supporting the Pandavas a lot, but it came to the point that Duryodhan was the king. Now, if you are living in somebody's house, if you are taking their grains and taking wealth and being completely dependent on their charity, you might feel some obligation to that person. Is it not? Isn't it? So Drona and Bhishma, here we've seen that Duryodhan, he's been addressed as the king. He's got the wealth, he's got the palace, he's got the kingdom, he's got the throne, he's got all the cards in his hand, he's got the palace. It's by his mercy that Bhishma and Drona are being maintained, and therefore he is really, he's calling the shots. And Drona and Bhishma, on account of having taken the grains of the Kauravas, are feeling obliged that, yes, I should fight on his side. Even though they know it's completely wrong, but still they're feeling it won't look good. So in this way, the fighting is going on and the polarization is going on and people are taking sides in this. What, after all, is a family feud. It's a fight between two sides of the same family. You've got the cousin brothers on one side, and you've got the cousin brothers, you've got the brothers on one side who are the sons of Pandu, and Pandu's brother, Dhritarashtra, his son's on the other side. So in this way, between cousin brothers, it's a family fight. Therefore, Balaram doesn't want to get involved, so he's gone off on a tour of the holy places. Krishna doesn't want to get involved, so he says. He's not getting involved directly. He says, I'm not going to fight on either side. So one of you can have me, and the other side can have my armies, but in any case, I won't fight. So Duryodhan, he's materially calculating. He said, yeah, I'll take his armies. And Arjun, he's very happy just to have Krishna on his side. And Krishna tells Arjun, well, I'm not going to fight, but I'll drive your chariot. And so Arjun's very happy, because actually in this way Krishna is taking his side. And wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, as we'll see, as Sanjaya declares at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, that wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there will also be victory, morality, and extraordinary power. So this is the fact that Krishna is acting in this way, because after all, as Krishna also reveals to Arjuna, in this whole battle, he explains to him, because before the battle begins, Krishna is going to tell Arjuna what is the situation. He's going to say, look Arjuna, you've asked to see my universal form, but I'm showing you here that it doesn't really matter whether you fight or don't fight, because none of these people are going home. I've already killed them. So it's up to you. You can fight and take the credit for fighting in this battle, but they're not going home. They're already put to death by my arrangement. They're dead. They're all dead men. So, Krishna has got his plan. And although he's acting behind the scenes in a very wonderful way, just as... and this is an example given by Bhishma Dev after the battle. Because we can look and see what's going on before the battle. This is all going on before the battle. The whole Bhagavad Gita is before the battle commences. And afterwards, which I'm going to come and talk about in a minute, there's another situation where Bhishma Dev is lying on the bed of arrows. And he gives an extraordinary example as he's giving instruction, lying with his body pierced through, all through his body, with arrows, just lying away from the ground because all these arrows are pierced through. I think there's a picture in here, actually, with a bit of luck, which you can see. What happens, or if it's in this volume, otherwise it may be, yeah, here it is. Very nice picture here. Maybe you can see, I don't know. But here's Bhishmadev lying, and underneath him there are all these arrows. It's actually a bed of arrows supporting him so he's not touching the ground. And in that condition, because he's also an extraordinary personality, he's been given a benediction that he won't die until he chooses to die. He's giving instruction to Maharaj Yudhisthira that now, my dear Yudhisthira Maharaj, you should take up the throne. Don't feel that all these people have died on your part, because this is how Yudhisthira is feeling. You can see the qualities of Duryodhan. He's out to get the power, get the control. But Yudhisthira, he's thinking, after all this battle, I shouldn't take the throne, because actually I'm so sinful, because all these people have been killed on my account. How can I take the throne? I've killed the husbands, I've killed the fathers, I've killed the sons of all these family members. How can I possibly now take on a position of being the ruler of the society, being the emperor of the world? And Bhishma Dev, he gives this extraordinary example. He says, just like the bamboo forest. You know bamboo trees? They're those long, hard, shiny wooden poles. I don't know if you ever tried rubbing your hand along one. But if you rub your hand along a bamboo pole, it gets very hot very fast because of the friction. Even though it's shiny, it has a particular quality that you get some friction. So Bhishma Dev, he gives this example that in the forest, the bamboos, they rub together. Why? Because of the unseen force of the wind is rubbing them together. And then, although nobody wants to have a forest fire, there's rub, friction. And you get a spark. And from that friction, it ignites. And there's a forest fire. So what is causing that friction is the unseen force of the wind, actually. And in the same way, Krishna, he's actually the unseen controller of this whole material world. And everything Krishna says is working under my direction. So we should know that at the same time, Krishna is playing the part in so many different ways, behind the scenes, as well as being the actor. Krishna, he's also the director. He's playing these different roles. He's got the director's seat. You know, and he's also one of the actors. Sometimes you see this in the movies, yes? That you have one of the actors and he's also the director. So Krishna, he is the supreme actor and he's the supreme director. He's orchestrating the whole show in a very wonderful way. So, any questions on this point? Or anything? Okay, well, what happens? Looking back at these verses, we've looked at some of the personalities, and I want to mention a couple of them, because every now and again we can stop and look at who some of these extraordinary personalities are. So back in text 7, Duryodhan is then, and this is on page 41, after having described the opposing army, Duryodhan says, "But you, for your information, O best of the Brahmins, let me tell you about the captains who are especially qualified to lead my military force. There are personalities like you." He's addressing Drona.
Yeah.
"Bhishma, Karna, Kripa, Ashvatthama, Vikarna, and the son of Somadatta called Bhurishrava, who are always victorious in battle." So he's describing some of these extraordinary personalities. And in the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavad Gita leads up to the battle of Kurukshetra, and Srimad Bhagavatam describes, as well as Krishna's adventures and activities in the 10th canto from his birth, but it also describes after the battle of Kurukshetra, because at the same time we know that we all of us have an appearance in this world and we have a disappearance from this world. So the Pandavas, they appeared, and their history of how they appeared is very extraordinary. They're described as the and Arjuna is many times referred to as Kauntea, the son of Kunti. Kunti herself is a most extraordinary personality. And her first child is
Karna.
Karna, yeah. Actually, this is the first child. So I'd like to read you something here from this chapter 15 of the Bhagavatam, which is about how the Pandavas ultimately retire from family life. And they retire, and because they leave, because when Krishna leaves the planet, he takes his devotees back home, back to Godhead with him. Under different circumstances, Krishna arranges everything differently. They're all coming back home, but just under different circumstances. The Yadus, they're all killed in a huge fight. They start getting intoxicated and they kill each other. That's another whole story. But the Pandavas, they retire timely. And it occurs in this chapter 15, which is a very poignant chapter. It describes how Arjuna returns back to Hastinapur. And he's very depressed. Arjuna is actually here very depressed. We see here that Arjuna, he doesn't look very depressed in this picture. He looks great. But we should know that emotions are there in the lives of the devotees, actually. And Arjuna, when he knows that Krishna has disappeared, he's left the planet, then Arjuna becomes very, very depressed. And he's... And Yudhisthira Maharaj, he sees him, and he tries to think of all the different reasons why Arjuna could be looking so distressed. And he thinks of so many different reasons. And then finally he says, because this is the worst possible case, this is the worst thing which he doesn't even want to mention, that, or could it be that your dear friend Lord Krishna has now departed for his own abode? And this is actually what is so distressing for Arjuna. And then he's remembering Krishna's different activities. So in this text, chapter 15, text 16, Arjuna's remembering great generals like Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Bhurishrava, Susharma, Shalya, Jayadratha, and Balika all directed their invincible weapons against me. But by his, Lord Krishna's grace, they could not touch even a hair on my head. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, the supreme devotee of Lord Nrisingadev, was unaffected by the weapons the demons used against him. So Arjuna is certainly a very extraordinary personality. So in this purport, the reason I picked this out, because here Prabhupada talks about Karna, about who he is. So we can just have a little discussion about it. Born of Kunti, this is Karna, born of Kunti by the sun god prior to her marriage with Maharaj Pandu. So this is before Kunti, she's a young lady. She's a very young lady. She's getting to marriageable age, but she's been given a benediction by Devasa Muni, actually. Devasa Muni gave a benediction to Kunti Devi that because, you know, Devasa Muni, he's a great devotee of Lord Shiva. And he's easily pleased, but like Lord Shiva, he's also easily angered. So if Devasa Muni is around, you've got to really watch your step. Because if you say or do the wrong thing, then you could really blow it. So Devasa Muni was very pleased by Kunti's very submissive and expert service when Devasa Muni came to the palace. And Kunti Devi was given a benediction by Devasa that she could call for any demigod. Now, she didn't really understand what that meant, in fact. She was just a young girl. She really didn't understand what it meant. But she was curious what this mantra was that she'd been given. She really couldn't figure it out too clearly. And so, while she was looking at the sun, she uttered this mantra. And immediately, the sun god appeared before her and said to her, and she was very, very shocked. She didn't know what to do. She was really surprised. But Vivishvan told her, well, actually, you've called me, so now I must give you a child. And she was, you know, really quite bewildered what to do. But he gave her the benediction. He said, don't worry, afterwards you will also be a virgin maiden. So don't be disturbed. So Kunti, having used this mantra, it couldn't be revoked. She called him, so she had to have a child by him. And the child born was actually Karna. And here it's described that Karna took his birth with bangles and earrings, extraordinary signs for an undaunted hero. This is how he was actually born. In the beginning, his name was Vasusena. But when he grew up, he presented his natural bangles and earrings to Indradev, and thenceforward he became known as Vaikartana. After his birth from the maiden Kunti, he was thrown in the Ganges. Because Kunti Devi, what to do? She's a royal princess. She can't just have somebody's child. She's not married. So with great regret, she put the baby Karna in a basket and let him set sail on the Ganga, and the hope and prayer that no harm would befall him. So it was a very difficult decision for Kunti to have to make. Later he was picked up by Adirath, and he and his wife Radha brought him up as their own offspring. So Krishna, he made arrangement for Karna to be brought up. He couldn't be brought up by Kunti, but arrangement was there nevertheless. Karna was very charitable, especially toward the Brahmanas. There was nothing that he could not spare for a Brahmin. In the same charitable spirit, he gave in charity his natural bangles and earrings to Indradev, who, being very much satisfied with him, gave him in return a great weapon called Shakti. He was admitted as one of the students of Dronacharya, and from the very beginning, there was some rivalry between him and Arjuna. Seeing his constant rivalry with Arjun, Duryodhan picked him up as his companion. And this gradually grew into greater intimacy. You know, there's a diplomatic saying that my enemy's enemy is my friend. So in this way, Duryodhan, seeing that there was some enmity between and rivalry between Karna and Arjun, he decided to make good friendship with Karna. And this way, try and find ultimately some plot for getting rid of Arjuna. He also was present in the great assembly of Draupadi's Svayamvara function. So the Svayamvara, anyone know what is the Svayamvara?
Is that what you know?
The husband?
Yes, the royal princesses, they could select a husband, and oftentimes it happened that the princes had to perform some extraordinary feats that they had to perform in order to qualify. So this happened. So when he attempted to exhibit his talent in that meeting, Draupadi's brother declared that Karna couldn't take part in the competition because of his being the son of a Sudra carpenter. So because he'd been brought up in the family of a carpenter, he wasn't allowed to compete for the hand of Draupadi. And when Arjun got Draupadi as his wife, this really made him burn. Yeah. So this rivalry between Krishna, Karna and Arjun is a very strong thing in actual fact. Although he was refused in the competition, still when Arjun was successful in piercing the fish target on the ceiling, and Draupadi bestowed her garland upon Arjun, Karna and the other disappointed princes offered an unusual stumbling block to Arjun while he was leaving with Draupadi. Specifically, Karna fought with him very valiantly, but all of them were defeated by Arjun. So this is more reason for him to feel really bad about Arjun, especially. This strong stuff is there in the heart. This is very difficult. Duryodhan was very much pleased with Karna because of his constant rivalry with Arjun. And when he was in power, he enthroned Karna in the state of Anga. Being baffled in his attempt to win Draupadi, Karna advised Duryodhan to attack King Draupada, for after defeating him, both Arjun and Draupadi could be arrested. So this is the plot. Duryodhan's a very clever, scheming politician. He's thinking that if we wipe out Draupada, then his son and Arjun, his daughter Draupadi and Arjun, we can get them, we just capture them. So, but Dronacharya rebuked them. This their teacher, he told them that you can't conspire like this. He rebuked them for this conspiracy. And they refrained from this action. Karna was defeated many times, not only by Arjun, but also by Bhimasena. He was the king of the kingdom of Bengal, Orissa, and Madras combined. Later on, he took an active part in the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhisthira. And when there was gambling between the rival brothers designed by Shakuni, Karna took part in the game, and he was very pleased when Draupadi was offered as a bet in the gambling. So this Karna, one of his qualities being very expert at distributing charity, actually Maharaj Yudhisthira, at one of his sacrifices, he engaged Karna to be in charge of giving charity to everyone because he was very good at it. So this was his natural quality, giving charity. He wasn't miserly. He didn't just put, you know, just like when you're serving prasad, Lord Chaitanya wasn't miserly. He was serving prasad to everyone, and he put on each person's plate what at least 4 or 5 men could eat. He was serious about making sure everyone got nice prasadam. Similarly, Karna, he was very good at giving charity. He would give very liberally. And so he was employed by Maharaj Yudhisthira to distribute charity in this way. So although we may see, oh, he's the bad guy and these guys are the bad guys, actually they, all of them had extraordinary qualities and qualifications. So it's not that they're all bad, but there are some very unfortunate things within the heart that make them ultimately disqualified. And particularly envy of Krishna's devotee is the big disqualification. Arjuna, Karna had incredible qualities. He satisfied Indra. He, very powerful person. But he had this envy of Krishna's devotee, which ultimately was his total undoing. So, also, some other points. So when Karna took part in the game, this was the gambling match designed by Shakuni, who was the uncle, I think, of the Pandavas. He's Duryodhana's uncle. Yeah, and he was a real crook. He was a very clever crook, actually. He knew how to cheat at gambling. So Karna took part in the game, And he was very pleased when Draupadi was offered as a bet in the gambling. This fed his old grudge. When Draupadi was in the game, he was very enthusiastic to declare the news, and it is he who ordered Dushasan to take away the garments of both the Pandavas and Draupadi. He asked Draupadi to select another husband, because being lost by the Pandavas, she was rendered a slave of the Kurus. He was always an enemy of the Pandavas, and whenever there was an opportunity, he tried to curb them by all means. During the Battle of Kurukshetra, here's another very interesting insight, he foresaw the conclusive result, and he expressed his opinion that due to Lord Krishna's being the chariot driver of Arjuna, the battle should be won by Arjuna. He always differed with Bhishma, and sometimes he was proud enough to say that within 5 days, he could finish up the Pandavas, if Bhishma would not interfere with his plan of action. So he was, very proud. But he was much mortified when Bhishma died. He killed Ghatotkach, who is Bhima's son, with the Shakti weapon obtained from Indradev. His son Vrasena was killed by Arjuna. He killed the largest number of Pandava soldiers. This is Karna. He's a very powerful fighter. At last, there was a severe fight with Arjuna, and it was he only who was able to knock off the helmet of Arjuna. But it so happened that the wheel of his chariot stuck in the battlefield mud. And when he got down to set the wheel right, Arjuna took the opportunity and killed him, although he requested Arjuna not to do so. So that, of course, is another interesting story, because that's not a proper time to kill your enemy when he's trying to get his chariot wheel out of the mud. But in actual fact, Krishna told Arjuna that he should do it, that this was the time. And this was the time because Karna was also cursed, that at the time, although Drona had given him a benediction... What's that?
It was Parashuram, not Drona.
Parashuram had given him the benediction. That's right. That he would have a very powerful mantra weapon. But because he considered that actually he was a rascal kshatriya, he also cursed him and said, although I've given you this very powerful weapon, that at the time you need it the most, you'll forget it. Because these mantras have to be chanted. And if you come before the Lord and you forget to chant the pranam mantras, it's not very good. So we have to remember these mantras, not only the mantras, but what they mean also, to offer our respects. And just at this time when Karna was trying to get his wheel out of the mud, and he was saying to Arjuna that, no, you shouldn't kill me now. Look, I'm not in the right condition. But still, Krishna said no. He didn't care when they were all ganging up on Abhimanyu, Arjuna. When Karna and the other Maharathis were ganging up on your son and they illegally killed him, what did they care for the rules of conduct? So now, Arjuna, this is your opportunity. You finish him. So Arjuna finished off Karna at this point. So many extraordinary incidences. This is what Krishna wanted. And Arjuna, being Krishna's devotee, he always was agreeable to do what Krishna wanted him to do. And this is the principle of Bhagavad Gita, to surrender to Krishna in all circumstances.
I think also Gauranga got cursed because I think one day he was travelling in his chariot and he ran over a cow, and the sage actually cursed him and said, one day your chariot will get stuck into the earth. I think it was a story that my dad told me then when I was a kid anyway, but something about along the lines, because he ran over a cow in his chariot, and the Brahmin just got a bit obviously got upset and distraught and distressed about it because he killed the cow. And it's something that one day his chariot will get stuck in the earth will actually come and claim his chariot. It was something along that kind of line.
Okay, well, thank you for that. I must admit, I don't know the story, so I can't comment on it.
Also, we kind of said a bit about Karna. because when he first spoke to me and urged me, you know, when at the Swayamvara, this is what I've heard and read and seen in the film. Arjun was dressed as a Brahmin. So when he was fighting Karna, you know, Karna wouldn't fight a Brahmin. So he probably hesitated quite a lot before, initially fighting a Brahmin. And I think that was one of the reasons why he lost. And as he said himself, he says, I wasn't prepared, for Arjun. Because what I saw was I was fighting a Brahmin and not Arjun, because he didn't recognize him at the time. And then there was a second battle between Arjun and Karna. And this time, Arjun was dressed as a woman. So, again, when they were fighting, Karna wouldn't fight a woman, obviously. So, again, he was hesitant at fighting, Arjun, he didn't recognize him. Mm. So that's why, again, Arjun defeated, Karna. And then the third time when they fought, which was at the battle, he was completely prepared for Arjun. And many times he did hit Arjun. And one time he nearly killed Arjun, but the sun set. And so according to the rules of the Kshatriya, once the sun sets, you can't release your arrows and you can't kill your opponent. Which was completely in opposite to what Dronacharya did, because Dronacharya said, well, it doesn't matter whether it's night or day, you just kill anybody, just carry on fighting. But when he came back into power, he says, no, we're not going to have a night fight, we'll go back to the way Bhishma conducted his, his way of worship, which is when the sun sets, we stop fighting and collect our, injured and tend to them, etc. So I think he did beat Arjun, but he held back, And Krishna saved him, I think, once as well. I don't know, I think he moved his chariot away.
There was one incident where Krishna made the sun set a little early because it was getting dangerous.
That was another one. Well, this was a natural sunset anyway. Setting.
Yeah.
So Karna was really unequal to Arjun, probably maybe more powerful. If you really look at it in reality. But he got defeated, but because of the curse that he had.
It's debatable, but here Prabhupada explains that actually Arjun was more powerful than Krishna, than Karna, actually.
But I think, with what we've read, and him also being the elder brother, you expect him to be more powerful. And he also had, the teaching from Parasuram, who was, the Lord Vishnu himself. And you can't get any better teaching than, the Lord himself.
Well, so, Duryodhana, he was taught to fight with a club by Balaram.
No, but we're talking about Arjuna and Parasuram and Dronacharya.
Yeah, but there was a fight between...
When you have two teachers, one's the Lord and one's just a Brahmin.
Ultimately, it depends on the desire of the Supreme Lord. If Krishna wants, just like we know that verse, Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. That if Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. And if Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. This is ultimately the principle. So Krishna, he wanted to save Arjun. He wanted Arjun to be victorious, and the Pandavas to be victorious. They're his devotees. And he wanted everyone else finished.
I think he also got led astray by Duryodhana quite many times,
Yes, this is the power of bad association.
That's why he spoke to Draupadi the way he did. This is what is written. And later on he says to Krishna, I regret what I said at the time. I don't know what overcame me, but there was this, I don't know, I think it's just a bad company. And also because of Draupadi embarrassed him at the Swayamvara, because it was Draupadi actually who said, I'm not going to marry the son of a charioteer.
Here it says
it's the brother who said it.
But yes.
According to some other books that I've read, he said it was Draupadi, and that's why he was so incensed, and that's why he, at the time when Draupadi was in trouble, he said, well, take your clothes off, that's why he ordered it, because
Whatever the exact details are, I'm just going with what Prabhupada has given us here. This is
No, he didn't know.
Kunti didn't reveal it till later.
No. Not till he was dead, you know. After death he told her.
But she revealed it to Karna in advance.
Karna knew. Karna knew that he was the brother.
Because... Kunti, she wanted Karna to fight with the Pandavas on their side. And so she explained to him that actually, you know, they're your brothers, actually. You should fight on their side. But he was already sucked in by Duryodhan. And, you know, he couldn't give up his allegiance. Because this is just like we saw in this passage, that Duryodhan had very cleverly supported him. He made him a king of a province. Because one of the reasons why he couldn't fight, why he couldn't take Draupadi, was because he was actually brought up the son of a carpenter, and that he had no kingdom. So how could he be a Kshatriya? So Duryodhan said, all right, I'll give him a kingdom. And so in this way, he always curried favor with Karna. And Karna felt also very obliged to him. He was a very clever diplomat. This we should know. But we also learn one very good lesson, many good lessons. And one is that you have to be careful who your friends are. Make good friends, not bad friends. Not friends with someone just because they're rich and powerful. But in Vaishnava behavior, we try to make friends with the devotees. This is a very significant point. Because if you're friends with Krishna's devotees, then you're in a good position. And if you're friends with the demons, then good luck to you.
Just like Kamsa, you know.
Yes. Kamsa, he was a bad guy. Okay, so let's stop here at this point, and we'll have a little kirtan, and then we'll take a little prasad. Unless there are any other questions or comments? Anyone like to make? Is it okay? And we'll continue next week with more about Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Hari Gaura. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tala. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vani Pacharani Nivisesha Sanyavani Pastitari Shata.
Hare Krishna.